folks, and welcome to Notcast, episode 304, the VD Blues.
I got the venereal disease blues.
Well, if you do, that is kind of a problem, but no, it's Valentine's Day. Well, it's 2 days before, and, well, at least we've got Deadpool.
This is why the Sony video disc format never took off in the early 80s, by the way. As their advertising campaign of Get VD just didn't really resonate with people.
They're like, you know, we have penicillin for that.
Yeah.
So it has been a week. We've not a ton of emails this week, so that's fine. We're recording really, really late. Almost didn't do a show this week, but we're here and have a little bit to talk about and a few emails, and this would probably be about an hour-long show, maybe.
3 hours later, Saverin and I get into a knockdown brawl about feminism or something.
I got my knife. What a knife.
This is my knife. Yeah.
I think we're probably mostly in agreement there, Fuzz. I mean,
no, I was trying to. I'm not. My confused expression is not that. I was trying to figure out an amusing acronym for SJW. It's like special Jewish Wiener Schwitzel or something like that.
It's kosher, so it's made with beef.
Yes, exactly. And it's cut.
Of course. In the land of Saverin, though, this week, hey, I can finally say, hey, I've got the edit notes back on.
In the land of Saverin, on the shores of Lake Yif.
Yes, I've gotten the edit notes back on overtime in the process of editing and mastering that into its final state. So give it a few weeks, and it should be for sale and available. Yay!
On audibleblow.com.
Yep. And I just need to get edit notes back for the hero.
Hey, don't tell me. Tell Taryn.
Oh, I know. I've been really productive.
I'm sorry he's holding that over you. You're subject to his tyranny.
God, Fuzz. And actually, I was thinking, it's like, you're going out to ConDFW this weekend. It's a literary convention. It's a writer's convention. I'm like, fuck, should I go out there with business cards and be like, hey, audiobooks?
So this is funny about ConDFW. So originally, I was intending to attend as an attendee.
Uh-huh.
I did this last year and went to a bunch of panels. I have a bunch of panels on marketing, publishing, contracts, short story stuff. Lots of different stuff that I find interesting. And I was just going to go as an attendee, have a good time. And then I remembered, last year their dealer's room was kind of bare looking. Like, there were some empty spaces. And I went to the website on the dealer's page, and it's like, we'll update this when the den is full. Hasn't been updated.
Uh-huh.
And an author is coming by that I have some of his – I will have some of his books for sale on my website. Mm-hmm. So I was like, And I DM'd them and asked if they had any tables opened. And they sent me over the email, and they got back to me, and they still have a couple of dealer's tables that are not spoken for. So, long story short, I'm suddenly dealing at ConDFW now.
Huh.
I don't expect to make a lot of money. It is a mainstream sci-fi literary convention. I am mostly doing it as a networking thing and to basically get For Planet's name out there in this little community a little more. I want to start kind of interacting with more of like the small presses and stuff like that. But Lawrence I don't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he wrote Barsk, B-A-R-S-K.
Which is a mainstream anthro thing.
It was published by Tor Books. It came out in December.
Cool.
Main characters are anthro elephants, and it takes place almost kind of like Mary Loud's books, where it's in the distant future and all the animals that humanity uplifted before humans went extinct have all gone out into space and have different planets and colonized and everything like that.
Kind of like Irma Felna, too.
On what?
Irma Felna, the albedo.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see. I didn't read Albedo back in the day.
It's
I know
really old.
I know you've read some of it. You've got like issue two or
I've got some of the early like issues of it. Yeah, in my collection. But yeah,
and that's a common furry kind of idea. But yeah, no, this just happened to be published by a mainstream publisher. So I went through the hoops of getting a distribution account so that I could order Tor Books as a distributor. So I got a few copies to sell on For Planet. Fortunately, I didn't order a whole lot of them because I was just going to test it out. But the author was going to be at the con, and I was actually looking forward to meeting him, getting my personal copy signed, and he wants to talk about, you know, our little market, basically, because he's sort of tangentially familiar with furry, mm-hmm. but doesn't know a whole lot about it, so he wanted to talk to me about it. And I was looking forward to doing that, and now I'm like, well, I'm going to get a table, and he's going to come by the table a couple of times and do some book signing. So it actually works out for both of us.
See, now I'm like, fuck, if I don't go, I'm probably going to fuck
myself over. Here's the thing, Saffron. I registered as an attendee months ago. My dealer's table comes with two registrations. So if you want to go, I've already paid for it.
Shit. I need to make some business cards tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, spend the morning doing that.
Oh, I mean, seriously, because it's literary sci-fi convention. What do I do professionally?
Right, yeah. Like, I mean, this, like I said, I mean, I'm not expecting to sell, like, thousands of dollars, but I expect to do some networking and learn some stuff at the panels. There'll be a couple of points where I'm like, I'm going to throw a sheet over my table and go to a panel because it's not going to be a hopping mad dealer's room, but no. I'm going to have a presence. And get this, Lawrence's Twitter name is Klingon Guy. He's one of the foremost authorities on the Klingon language.
Neat.
Like, he's really into this, and Tor just released the audio version of Barsk, and they got J.G. Hertzler to do the audiobook narration, and he is the actor who played General Martok on Deep Space Nine, who was a big Klingon character in that show. So this is something I want to talk to Lawrence about, because usually in the mainstream media, the author doesn't have a lot of input into certain aspects of their book, like cover art. The authors generally don't have input into that, but they're doing small press. And I would not expect an author to have much input into what actor gets cast to do the audiobook. But clearly, there's, you know, he had some influence on saying, hey, how about this guy I really dig that plays a Klingon, you know? So I kind of want to ask him how that turned about, or maybe Tor just does things differently. But I thought that was kind of neat that, you know, Klingon guy got a literal Klingon guy to do his audiobook narration.
I definitely need to look into that.
So, but I think it'll be fun and interesting.
Yeah, if anything, it'll be interesting, because, I mean, it's what you do and I do sort of.
So you're stepping your toe into that. And I'm telling you, man, I really think you should look into doing the some audio for escape artists, for Escape Pod or Pseudopod and stuff like that. And even if you do it, you know, really cheap, because they're like a nonprofit organization or something, I mean, that would probably totally bag you some clients.
Oh, yeah. And do it cheap or free. Fuck. I mean,
you could end up fucking narrating like some Hugo Award winning story or something like that, you know? That would be kind of cool. Yeah. But I think that'd be a good way to definitely get your name out there to the sci-fi community as well, which you dig sci-fi anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. Give me some sci-fi hell. I'd be interested to do some urban fantasy.
Yeah.
I like doing Blacker Dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one, too. It's whack,
whack, whack, whack. So, yeah, that's cool. So there we go. Moving on up in the world.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Or out.
Yeah.
Out expanding my company horizons a little bit.
I like doing the furry books, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, our market, the furry market, is not nearly as big as broad. But it's still, you know.
And part of it is like, because like Barsk, it's like a mainstream published book that's anthropomorphic animals. It is, if it was published by me, it would be a furry book.
Yeah.
You know? Did we call it a furry book because it was published by Tor? I mean, to furries, it's a furry book.
Yeah.
To sci-fi fans, it's a sci-fi book with anthropomorphic aliens.
Yeah, but I mean, there's been like cat aliens and shit and sci-fi since the 70s. So
I'm not looking to, like, leave the furry thing behind or do something entirely separate from it. I would love to see more anthropomorphic fiction get pushed out into the mainstream.
Well, we had Anta with
His comic. That actually, that's something we could talk about here on the show, because I don't think we've discussed this, have we?
We've not.
No. So Image Comics produces an anthology comic series called Island, which has like three or four stories per issue. You know, mainstream, big publisher, production values, nicely printed and everything like that. And the guy that is the editor of this range, I guess he pretty much has free rein to do whatever stories, to publish whatever stories he feels are important. And he approached Anta about doing some with his furry characters.
Yeah, it's got Marty with his dick-sucking lips.
His DSLs. Yeah. Just like the modem. It's actually not just Marty. It's actually the whole cast of a lot of Anta's Hardbrush stuff. But it's like a 30 pages of this comic, and the back and front cover are by Anta.
Actually, shit, I need to go by my local comic shop and see if they even have it.
So I bought it online, and what's neat about...
I need to go pick up my box. There's like 2 months worth of comics in there.
What's neat about Comixology, which handles all the online digital comic stuff, is that if you own a comic shop, you can get a digital storefront where it'll go through your URL, and that particular store will get a little cut of the sale of the digital comic. So what I did, I went through Phoenix Comics' store, because Phoenix Comics is owned by my furry friend up in the Capitol Hill area of Seattle.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
So I was like, I'm going to buy this comic through Phoenix's link so that my buddy's store basically gets the credit for it, even though I don't live anywhere near me. So it turns out I didn't actually have to buy the damn thing anyway, because I actually contributed money towards it. My character has a one-panel cameo in it, so I got a free copy of it anyway. But
physical and digital.
They're both digital.
Oh.
But the thing is, it's like the more people buying it and supporting it, and this was sort of the word that Anta was trying to get out, is that if we support this mainstream furry appearance, then they're liable to maybe ask for more.
Yeah.
You know, and that this is like another sort of positive thing on the fandom to set a show that we're ready, you know. We have quality stuff. We have quality artists, quality storytellers, that we can put our stuff out in the mainstream, and it will stand just fine on the shelf next to Batman and Spider-Man and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to boost it, and I was retweeting it and stuff like that. But it's also a very good story. You haven't read it yet.
I haven't. Right? Okay. I know of it. I saw Anta, like, tweeting about it, but
so
haven't been in my comic shop to buy a copy.
The basic story is that the gang are going to a pride parade. And so, like, Jesse and Taylor's the purple raccoon, I think he is, guy. They're, like, super stoked about it and, you know, super gay. And the horse guy, he's sort of chill. But it's like, yeah, it'll be fun, man. And Jesse, the lion character, is just being dragged along because he's the one that's dating Marty, who had previously had girlfriends. It was like, man, no, this is so crazy, and this isn't really me, and what if my friends see me here and stuff like that. So it's really a story of how these four different characters sort of approach pride and approach their gay identity and things like that. And, I mean, Jesse is usually my least favorite character in the comics because he's kind of a jerk to Marty. But I actually found myself identifying with him really strongly in this comic because, like, these are all the thoughts and feelings that I've had about pride. Because, like when it comes to being bi and being in the queer sort of umbrella, it's like, that's not me. I'm not into the drag queens or the floats or the over-the-top rainbow parade kind of thing.
Just this dude.
I'm just like this dude that likes fucking other dudes, basically, and is happily married to a dude. And yeah, I know, shock. But so I kind of felt like that too. And like a lot of the message of the comic is sort of like, it's okay. You don't have to like fit into somebody else's definition of what being gay is supposed to be. You know, it's all these different identities. So I thought it was is not just well drawn, because Anta's a good artist, but I thought it was a well written story. Also, it's something that I think people should totally check out. But and yeah, we should have totally brought it up. I guess we just forgot before, but yeah. It's definitely a good thing to discuss in the fandom.
Get hold of it and read it, and we can have further discussion on it like next time.
Yeah, so check it out. My current Twitter icon actually is a clip from the comic from my cameo appearance. Yeah.
Also, we should note that Shiva isn't here tonight because Con. We are now 30 days out from Fiesta, and it's crunch time.
Yeah, sort of like there's a lot of stuff. I think she's working on dealer stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Furry Fiesta did post their list of who was in the dealer's room. The map's not on the website yet, but you can go to furryfiesta.org/dealers, I believe it is, and you can see the list with web links to most of the dealers that are in there. For Planet's in there, woo!
Yay! For Planet's vending at Furry Fiesta? What a surprise, right?
And Rukus is there, too, which is cool. So I'm glad to see her back.
Speaking of Rukus.
Yes.
I was asked to reprise my role as...
Marcus?
No, Marcus is the...
There's Reese and Marcus.
Reese is the wolf? Marcus the Fennec? Anyways.
I reprised
my role as the Fennec character in Unconditional.
Oh, okay.
It was funny because, like, someone, they noted me on FA.
Uh-huh. Which you hardly ever check.
No, I'd happened to check and they noted me, like, the day before.
Oh, okay.
So I was good, like, timing. All right, cool. And I checked them out and they're like, yeah, you know, the guy we asked to do has been sitting for weeks, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Like, it's not paid. And I'm like, I said I'd do it. And they got me the lines. I did them in literally an afternoon, sent it back to, like, holy fuck, you work fast. I'm like, I do this shit all the time, dude.
Yeah, see, that's the difference between now and when you recorded Cruelty. You were not doing all this professional shit back then.
No. Well, that was, like, one of the first projects I ever did, and I sat on my ass for months on that one. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, you got me lines? Cool. Bam. Well, it's like I'm doing a collaboration on a pony. It's like 18,000 words. It's not this long.
Oh, yeah. You told me that.
With this gal who does really good dazzlings and Equestria Girls, which like she does Sunset Sonata, Arialim. And so I'm doing the narration. She's doing the voices. And she was like, yeah, we'll see about doing it. What's your length? And I'm like, what's your length limit? I'm like, I've done a 170,000 word long professional audiobook. Oh, and this one's like 20K. I banged it out in literally a day.
Oh, so this isn't Fallout Equestria.
Oh, fuck,
like a million words or something.
This is just some slice of life stuff. It's cute though.
Cool.
But it's just like I got it done, and now I'm just waiting on her. But it's just one of those things where it's like now people are always surprised how fast I can get out product. Well, that's technically true. And get stuff out.
Don't introduce yourself at the con. It's like, hi, I would like to monetize you.
Well,
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's technically true. But it's like, we're not quite that crass. But
No. But it's true, though, that I got this, like, the lines out real quick. Because it's when you're only doing the narration parts.
Yeah.
You know, you just read the interstitial dialogue and leave the rest of it to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll put it together. It should be good for my YouTube subs.
Sweet.
I'm literally up 1,100 subs since I first did that first stupid little comic tab. So, yay for that. I tapped into that Undertale fandom. Aw, yeah.
Tap that Undertale. That doesn't sound dirty at all.
Under that tail, wait, no. Don't fuck the goats at all.
The goats.
That
people seem to like Goat Dad.
Yeah, so. Well, he's a big, burly goat dude with muscles and a giant spear who will kill you.
And, of course, people are milfing about Goat Mom.
Well, hell, people are like, oh, man, evil goat son, ghost flower. You know, the game came out in October. Well, they draw him as his adult form. It's the final boss of the game.
I bet they don't all draw him like that.
Well, what I've seen.
I don't go to Ink Bunny, so I haven't seen.
Neither do I. And I've actually like conspicuously avoided. It's like I don't want to see porn of any of these characters at all, especially the skeletons. This makes no sense. I did see this one. It was like Papyrus, on his race car bed. What are we going to do on the bed? And he's, why? And it's just, he's a skeleton. There's nothing there. There's bones. What are we going to do on the bed? It's a good question. He's a skeleton. So, that's exciting. Deadpool coming up. Actually, there's Deadpool showings tonight.
Oh, so it comes out this weekend.
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow. There is, the Planet West XD. It's on, three screens.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got showings constantly.
Yeah.
They actually started doing showings at 7 p.m. tonight.
The fuck is the weekend? You know, it used to be they had to wait till 12:01 on Friday.
And they're just like, nah, fuck it. Put it out there.
Wasn't Star Wars at 12:01 on Wednesday?
No, it was Thursday. The movie came out on a Friday, I'm pretty sure.
No, because you could see it all day Thursday.
Oh, no, you're right. It was like a 12:01 Wednesday midnight showing.
Yeah.
I've been to midnight showings for Star Wars. I did that for 3.
Yeah. Oh, God. I did it for Phantom Menace. Because we were all so young and we didn't know any better.
Well, at this point,
we'd only had the original trilogy to guide us.
Yeah. I was too young at that point, I think.
For the original trilogy? Yeah.
Well, I was too young for the original trilogy, but I mean, too young to do midnight showings of 1 and 2.
It would have been 99, it would have come out. So you would have been 16 when Phantom Menace came out?
I didn't have my driver's license until 17.
Yeah.
And you don't, you're. Curfew and all that too, so
right, yeah,
but
that was one of those things where I enjoy Star Wars, but I am not a massive balls to the wall Star Wars fan. It's not like Doctor Who with me.
We're not Rikoshi or Teal,
right? Everyone has their thing that they have a huge nerd hard on for, and I have a friend who has the triumvirate of geekdom. He is equally hardcore about Star Trek, Star Wars, and Doctor Who. And I'm not that guy. So I wasn't really going to bother with seeing Star Wars midnight showing and shit like that back in the day. And, you know, a friend of mine was she was planning on camping out to buy tickets. And this was when I was working retail.
Oh, man.
And I just happened to have the next day off. And she'd asked me if I wanted to keep her company. And I was like, I'm off tomorrow. Not doing anything. Isn't it great to be in your 20s and not be doing anything in the middle of a week? And I was like, okay, sure, fuck it. So we stayed out all night in front of the Cinemark and waited and bought tickets. And then we went to the 12:01 showing when it opened. And I don't really regret it. I mean, because it was kind of fun to do.
It is fun.
You know?
I mean, even if it's not the greatest movie, you have a giant group of people that are incredibly enthusiastic about that thing.
Yeah. There's really something to be. So I don't really like going to opening night movies now when I'm older, when just we're all crammed together. There's not a single spare seat between anybody. But the actual experience of being at an opening show is actually, it is really invigorating because everyone sort of laughs and cries and cheers at the same moments. And it's that shared experience, you know, it's like being at a play or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I did that with, I think, Guardians of the Galaxy and Pacific Rim, where I saw those with crowds and everyone was really into those. But when I saw Star Wars, it was a 10 a.m. showing on Thursday, and there was not a ton of people there because normies have jobs.
Right.
And can't just say, I don't have active projects that have to be done, go into the movies, lol.
Yeah.
And so I went and saw it. It was great and didn't, you know, and I was able to be like, haha, you can't spoil shit for me, fuckers.
I think I waited till Friday and I was surprised that I avoided spoilers. Apparently some people have avoided spoilers for like 2 months. And I'm like, that takes some guts.
Hey, you know, it comes out in Blu-ray in like April. And,
you know, I find myself, there's a lot of funny Star Wars parody Twitter accounts. And I find myself sometimes wanting to retweet one because I find it amusing and not doing it because even just knowing the existence of the account is a spoiler.
Yeah.
You know? But that's got to wear off at some point.
I think a couple months is you're kind of like, you're done at that point.
Yeah.
It's like, look, you need to see the film or not complain. I mean, there's still people that complain about spoilers to like Jaws, I'm sure. What do you mean the shark dies?
You know, in Doctor Who fandom, people are like, no spoilers until after it's aired in the U.S. Because with the time difference, it airs in the U.K. first, and then it airs on BBC America. But it's like, so if you haven't seen a new episode of Doctor Who by the end of the weekend, fuck you. You know, Star Wars is going on like 2 months, and we're still kind of watching it, but like, Doctor Who is just like, what do you mean you haven't seen it yet?
You fucking casual, get out of here.
Which I guess it's probably more common with TV shows where there's that constant
You gotta be up to date. I mean, whereas a movie is kind of a one-off thing, even if it's not necessarily one-off.
That you wait 30 years for and then are content to die because you've seen it.
Now you have to wait till at least episode 9's out because then, you know, the finale of that trilogy. Otherwise, you have to come back as a Force ghost.
And we find out that Rey is Darth Vader's father, and it was all transgender time travel.
With Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, Misa, your father!
So, speaking of movies, though, have you been seeing the new Zootopia stuff?
Yeah, there was a new clip today that I have not watched yet that apparently the sheep is involved in.
Yes.
But I've seen all the other ones, the one of... Judy and Little Rodentia chasing the weasel guy.
And her talking to Clawhauser, who is so gay.
Oh, it's so sad.
He had the little mannerisms, like when he eats the fucking donut. Just a little, like, twist. And he, no, no, no. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And, of course, that's stereotyping. And he's like, don't stereotype.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I'm so amused that they had that sort of social commentary in there. You know, well, one bunny can call another bunny cute. Like,
the C word is R word. You don't get to use it.
And I was like, cunt? No, cute.
It's like,
it'd be like if, you know, if Judy called Nick a sheath warmer, and it's like only other foxes can call a fox a sheath warmer.
Yeah. Especially if they're like not actually gay. God.
We don't know about Nick yet, do we?
Well, I'm going to assume that they're not going to make protagonists gay in a Disney film.
Oh, yet. No. Those lonely nights on the street, him and Finnick keeping warm together.
I'm just thinking Finnick is
gonna wear you like a glove.
Yeah.
You know, a cock glove.
So it's actually mentioned that I saw a tweet about it that Judy's neighbor are a pair of gay aurochs or gay whatevers they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's mentioned, it's like, I voice blah name, and it's her neighbors like are both talk to her and they're both male voiced characters.
Oh yeah, I just figured there were a couple of bros. They're like, we're not quiet, we're not gonna apologize for it, and then they slammed it.
No, apparently they're like named like hyphenated name characters.
Huh.
I can't dig it up in the context of the podcast, but I'm like, I've been spending a lot of time on the Zootopia threads because I'm just like, what's new? Or just like looking at all the fun shit posting and art that people have been making.
When you go to furry con with your friend who's going to their first con, he's
just smiling and she's terrified.
And the other one I've seen is a gift set to that with the, does this make you uncomfortable? Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to the sheep one. They've shown her a little,
mm-hmm.
and make the lion kind of be a jerk
towards her. Because he's a cat.
Yeah.
Cats are jerks. Yeah.
Yep. Good thing we don't have the cat here to defend herself.
Canine superiority cast. Go. Woof, 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 woof. So. The wolf has to have the deeper voice.
He has Zootopia in a couple weeks. Deadpool now.
Mm-hmm.
Good couple months for movies. Fucking Civil War comes out this summer.
Wow.
Yeah, Disney's got a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah. Like, holy fuck. Civil War should be good.
Yeah. That'll be interesting because they're changing it significantly from
the comic
Civil War.
Yeah. Oh, fucking X-Men Apocalypse this summer as well.
Shit, yeah.
Oh, so I kind of tweeted this the other day. I'm just unabashedly a fan of the X films. I don't give a fuck. I can even watch the third one. And it doesn't hurt anymore because it all gets retconned by Days of Future Past anyway.
I have not seen that one, but I should see.
There's some... Okay. There's... People have problems with it in that chewing adamantium angry... level way that I don't, you know, people just get so pissed about it. And I'm like, they made a couple of missteps. You know, the Magneto has a really bad out of character moment where I'm just like, that's Magneto wouldn't do that. That's a really shitty thing to do to one of his allies. And he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not mentioning spoilers because you haven't seen it. The movie's been out for like 15 years. Do you care?
I don't really care. I haven't seen it, but okay. I'll get around to it eventually.
And like I said, it all gets retconned by Days of Future Past anyway.
I've seen three.
Oh, you've seen three. Okay. Yeah, all
I
right.
thought you were talking about like Future Past spoilers.
No, 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 no.
Like it's not been out 15 years. You know, I mean, talking in hyperbole.
I was talking about X3.
Oh, I've seen X3.
The part where like Mystique gets hit by the demutanting dart and Magneto's just like, oh, she was so beautiful. Shun.
Yeah.
That's so out of character for him. Like, he, especially you know,
especially given those two characters in the comics, they have a very long history together.
And the whole point of Magneto is that he is not a shitty person. He has beliefs about protecting his people, in this case, mutants, that are formed, by the way, his other people, Jewish people, were treated in World War II. He's very informed by his history, and he's not like, I want to kill humans because I'm evil. It's, I want to kill humans before humans kill us.
Yeah.
You know, we have to win this war or we'll go extinct. He's not just a shitty person for the sake of being a shitty person. And like that attitude in X3, that's something just a shitty person would do. And I was like, that is not in his character. Yeah. You know, and there are other things that are fucked. I mean, you know, yeah, killing Xavier, that gets unwritten by Days of Future Past.
The X1, 2, and 3 have just been thrown out the window at this
point. You could probably make a case that they're all a little different because time was changed in the 70s.
Yeah.
But I think X1 and X2 still exist with the exception of Jean not being killed anymore. They unwrite that, but
you can't hear me, but I'm just like shrugging.
Yeah, whatever. I was dead. I got better.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's comic book movies, right?
Yeah, it's like that little flash animation. Wolverine's like, oh, I've been dead 5 or 6 times, eh? You know, he has a really stereotypical Canadian accent. But no, I really like what they've done with their whole concept with this. Because, I mean, the problem from a storytelling perspective, when you tie a character to a real life event, you're kind of tied to that timeline. You can never really reboot Magneto because the Holocaust and him being a prisoner during it is so integral to his character. You couldn't just rewrite that with a future historical event and be like, oh, well, he was a prisoner in Vietnam. It doesn't have the same impact. It doesn't have the same meaning. And the way they've gotten around that and still making new movies is with the younger first class cast. It takes place in the 80s. And that fucking works because all these comics were written in the 70s and the 80s anyway. And I'm just like, you know, it's a new movie coming out in 2016. It's going to take place in the 80s with the cast that they established as starting in the 60s. It's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
And it's go. You're going to see Storm with her fucking mohawk and shit. It's going to be fucking Psylocke in Archangel. That trailer. Archangel with his metal wings, but Psylocke with her fucking psychic sword cutting a fucking car in half and shit. So I just get so jazzed about mutant superpowers.
Doesn't he also have Colossus?
Colossus is in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Colossus is in Deadpool,
yes.
Apparently, too. Oh, and that's the reason why people hate... Did you see Origins Wolverine?
Yeah.
People fucking hated that movie because of Deadpool. Because Deadpool is not at all written like...
Deadpool.
And
he has fucking katanas in his arms. That doesn't even make any sense.
So the reason that didn't bother me was because I have never read a Deadpool comic. Deadpool was just not a thing for me. I know he was like a really important character to a lot of other people.
Yeah.
For some reason, he just never came on my radar. It's like Spider-Man.
I can't say that I've read a lot of his comics, but it was just one of those things where it's like we've tacked a name on a character that shares a name and that's it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's really it. I mean, I didn't care. I thought X-Men Origins Wolverine was all right.
Yeah.
And, like, because Deadpool was not really a thing in the movie. He was, like, a villainous character that they fought.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't the focus of the film.
The neat thing, though, is it's the same actor.
Yeah.
That was playing Deadpool in that. And the reason he's still able to play Deadpool now is because Days of Future Past changed all of Wolverine's timeline. So Wade Wilson's story was completely rewritten into the Deadpool that people know, which is the Deadpool that'll be in this film.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds apparently has been stumping for a long-ass time for them to make a proper R-rated Deadpool film.
Yeah, he had said something like, I've been waiting to make this movie for 10 years.
And I'm like super happy they did, and B, really surprised they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it thus far, it still got like an 80 plus on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And like the early initial reviews were like unanimously praising it.
Cool.
It sat at 100% for a couple days before, you know, people came in and shat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, I don't understand this character or whatever. Or people mad that they didn't do a PG-13 cut. And their response is, Deadpool's not for fucking kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that response. It's sort of like, you know, would you take your kids to see a porno, you know, would you take your kids to see American Psycho because Christian Bale's in it and he played Batman? No, you wouldn't.
My God, it's got raised letters. His card's amazing.
and I love that movie. It is not for kids.
No.
You know? Not every movie is for kids. So I was surprised, actually, that people are, like, really pissed that it's an R-rated film. I guess because it's Marvel and all the Avengers films have all been PG or PG-13.
It's Fox, though. It's made by Fox.
Okay.
It's a Marvel characters because Fox still has the X-Men. And Deadpool falls under the X-Men banner. That's why they have
That's why they have the Wolverine
films and stuff like that. So basically, Fox has this group of characters, and they don't have Spider-Man anymore because Spider-Man's going to show up in the Marvel movies.
Actually, he's a timeshare.
He is.
Yeah. They really wanted Spider-Man in the Avengers universe.
For Civil War.
So they worked out a deal.
Okay.
But yeah, Fox is still going to be able to make Spider-Man movies. But that's really interesting that they're like, look, we really want this character.
Like, I guarantee you that if Deadpool had fallen under the Disney banner, it wouldn't be an R-rated film. It wouldn't have gotten made.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that Disney owns so many fucking properties. I think they own Miramax as well.
Miramax is their R-rated film distribution platform.
Yeah. Don't they own Dimension as well as part of that?
Probably.
I don't know.
They own a million fucking things.
Yeah, yeah.
But Miramax has been their R-rated thing since, like, the 80s.
Yeah, or the 90s, I think is when it started.
It's been a while.
Because it was one that put out Clerks, all of Kevin Smith's early work.
And Mallrats, etc.
Yes.
The didn't this new movie Yoga Hosers come out like on the indie circuit or something?
It got released at Cannes, I believe. And I think it got a good rating there.
Because I saw him like same people complain about this or people that complained when Mallrats came out. I responded to him and said, that chick had three nipples, dude. That was fucking sweet.
Oh, I saw that, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Yoga Hosers.
So. I mean, and it's cool that he's got his kid doing it, too.
Yeah, yeah. His kid and Johnny Depp's kid.
It's like, hey, Babby's first film.
Oh, man. Did you hear the shit about his daughter nearly getting kidnapped?
Yeah, by some fucking faux Uber drivers.
Yeah, there's like two douchebags pretending to be Uber drivers. Basically, were like, get in the car, kid. You know, because she was waiting for an Uber. And she's like, no, you guys seem super fucking shady. And, you know, yeah, she's like 16. So, you know, she was like freaked out. So she didn't get like the plate or anything like that. But it's like, I don't even know. They probably didn't even know who she was.
They were just creepers.
They were just creepers wanting to pick up a teenage girl. Ew. Yeah. And, you know, so Kevin got his daughter a cake that said, sorry, men suck. And see, that's the right reaction. Yeah. And fucking meninists on Twitter gone on his case about doing the not all men, you know. And it's like what we were talking about last week. It's like, well, it's okay that you're not a rapist and you didn't try to pick up his 16-year-old daughter.
But this is his dad or her dad,
but
doing the supportive dad thing,
right?
And not. And belittling her experience.
Yes. And he had tweeted something like, well, I'm sorry you're upset about something that literally has no effect on you at all. And it's just like, yeah.
And it's kind of that's nice, fuck off.
Yeah. And I basically told the guy in so many words that, you know, that his not all men bullshit was fucking weak sauce. You know,
speaking of fucking weirdos getting mad about shit that doesn't affect them, you saw that thing today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, speaking of weirdos getting mad about shit, let's read some email.
No. We still have some more shit to talk about.
Okay.
Fucking, do you see that bullshit about that guy getting mad because some like Xbox games are being on PC?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like,
this is not shit you follow.
It's not shit I follow. So it really just kind of blows my mind when people are like, so he was upset that a game he pre-ordered for Xbox was announced later that it was going to be released for PC as well.
Correct.
Why does he care about that? He still gets his pre-ordered video game for the system he has. Why does he care if somebody else is getting game? I mean, playing it on the PC when it doesn't affect him.
So this kind of blows my mind too, because Phil Spector, the head of Xbox, was like, "The fuck is wrong with you?"
I thought he was a producer in the '60s. There was a music producer on. Anyway, go ahead.
So
I'm old.
This very high up in Xbox. Yes. Like, what does it matter to you? It's like, well, it'll look better and they don't have to pay to play online and other shit. And the guy's like, and people have rightly piled onto this guy because it's just so fucking out there. I looked up the guy's channel. He's just some 20K sub YouTuber who is like ultra hardcore Xbox fanboy. Uh-huh. Like everything he has on his channel is nothing but Xbox fanboyism. Shitting on the Wii, shitting on the PS4. Claiming that the Xbox One is able to do 4K, which is a fucking lie. It can barely do 1080p on a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're vastly underpowered
machines. Only if you feed the hamsters extra.
Yeah. And so this guy, like, proudly lists that he has everything under the sun console-wise, but doesn't have a gaming PC. I don't play games on PC. That's weird. So this guy was... First of all, the guy got himself a bit of an attention coup by getting the head of Xbox to respond to him being an idiot and getting piled on because people go to his channel and give him views and clicks, etc.
Why do people like negative attention? I just don't understand. Yes, the head of Xbox talked to you, but he talked to you to tell you you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That'd be like me begging for Kevin Smith's attention, for him to call me a troll and block me. I mean, why would you want that kind of attention from someone?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's attention whoring because he figures that any negative attention he gets, he will still net a gain of subscribers and viewers.
You may or may not be accurate about that because people are weird. But
yeah, well, I mean, you piss off enough people, but then you have like, oh yeah, that's not fair. You find the people of similar opinion that might have not known he existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid, shitty tactic, mm-hmm. but it'll probably end up being a net positive for him in the end, as long as he survives the negative barrage.
You see, you know, when you're first describing him, and I'm like, okay, total Xbox fanboy, he really, really loves his Xbox, and that I'm okay with. And then you hit the point where it's like, so he shits on the Wii, he shits on the PlayStation, he shits on PC, and I'm like, okay, well then fuck him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I do not understand why, like, everyone has their fucking thing that they have a major hard-on about. Everyone is a fanboy of something. Like,
I'm just going to play video games, okay?
And it's like, why you gotta shit on everybody else's experience? Why can't you just enjoy your thing for you without tearing everybody else down, you know?
I mean, this guy's like maybe 20. Hell if I know. He's not fully cooked yet, probably. And if he's our age, then I'm sorry, there's no hope
for him. Right, yeah, yeah.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, I've got an Xbox there. There's a couple Wiis in here. I've got a GameCube. I got a PS3 in the other room. Like, I got an N64. I actually need to get like an SNES or something.
You've also got the only true gaming platform, iPhone. Oh god, yeah.
That thing they've like updated Crossy Road to the point my phone will barely run it. I can't play my shitty free to play Frogger game anymore. Oh no.
Your phone's a couple gens behind.
It's now, isn't several it? Gens behind. It's a 4S, so it's at least 4.
5, 5S, 6, 6S.
Yeah. And the 7s are coming out this summer, I think.
They haven't officially announced it yet, have they?
They'll be doing it soon.
There's just all the hints and rumors. And everyone kind of knows Apple's cycle.
There's a new iteration every year or so.
I wonder what they'll do different. If they'll...
I don't know.
Apart from the obvious of more memory, faster processor, longer battery life. Because that's what every phone gets. It's supposed to be like
the different camera slightly and may not have a headphone jack.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor that they may or may not, that they may go to either USB-C or Lightning for everything.
I think USB-C.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a problem for me.
Because uh-huh.
my car doesn't have Bluetooth or things. So I was like,
oh. Oh, yeah, you use the aux cord. I have an cord.
Aux cable. Mm. 08 car.
A lot of people are going to have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not. I will figure a workaround because I have to listen to my podcast in my car.
They are going to release a whatever it is to headphone adapter.
Yeah, I think what one of the reasons for it is to make the thing more waterproof.
Oh, if you only have one port to worry about,
and it doesn't require, I don't know.
So. Like, this is interesting technologically because, like, I read a cool article on this. Like,
also, they can make it thinner.
Yeah. Which, you know, I don't care about that. I know Tyrion doesn't care about that because Tyrion's like, I don't care if it is like a millimeter thicker in my pocket where I don't even notice it if it means having an extra feature that would be useful.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many besides, you're going to put a fucking 10-pound rubber case around it anyway.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
Like, you know, I've got my little 4 and it's.
Yeah. Your case is not massive, but I've seen some of those huge OtterBoxes.
I actually had an OtterBox on it and I managed to destroy it.
How the fuck? Well, you didn't destroy the phone, though, right? Yeah. So I guess the OtterBox did its job.
It has two small cracks in the glass, but I've managed to not destroy my phone, even though I destroyed an OtterBox.
That is amazing. Many years ago, Zap had just gotten the iPhone, blah, whatever was new at the time, and he'd put it in this huge OtterBox, and I was like, that is a hella big case. He's like, yeah, dude, but I could do this. And he took it and he fucking flung it down the hall at my old apartment, and it bounced like a fucking skipping stone down my hall. It was perfectly fine, but I was like, I wouldn't fucking throw my new phone up all that length like that. But no, what I was going to say was, so back in the day, recently I was reading this article that was talking about how everyone always says, Apple's fucking crazy. What the fuck are they doing? So way back when the iMac came out, it didn't have a serial port, which is what a lot of the peripherals were still using at that time. And they had removed all the serial ports and replaced it with USB ports, which while now everything is fucking USB and we're super used to them. But at the time, USB was just sort of starting off. And weirdly, Apple didn't have any USB peripherals. Like, when they announced the iMac launch, there was nothing that Apple made that you can actually connect to it via USB. And they were
they had PS2 mice.
Yeah, we're going to remove these standard cables. It's going to have a USB only. It still had the CD drive at that point. And people thought they were fucking crazy. And lo and behold, years later, what's a serial port? What's a PS2 connector? You know, fucking everything is USB now. Yeah. It's something that paid off for them in the long run. And so the author of this article's point was people's reaction to we're removing the headphone jack is you're fucking crazy. What the fuck are you doing? But they're sort of like their opinion was that Apple's thinking ahead again. And they're going to be the ones that are sort of leading the charge on this. And this eventually all phones will have this all-in-one connector. I personally don't like it because right now I can listen to something with a wired headphone and charge my phone at the same time. Which if I just had one plug on an iPhone, it'd be one or the other, you know? So anyway, good.
I was going to say, they probably looked at the market demos and like, okay, cars made past this point have a high likelihood of having Bluetooth.
Right. I mean, mine's an 05, again, like yours being a little older, so yeah. I don't have Bluetooth either.
I don't have Bluetooth, but like Panther's car is an 011 model and the head unit died on it recently, but it has Bluetooth.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, most cars are X years old and most cars have Bluetooth. We can ditch this feature, make it a couple bit thinner, give it some more battery space or whatever, and bam. And I can pretty much guarantee that that's their reasoning.
Yeah. Also, the other thing this article pointed out, which I had not realized, that Apple bought Beats.
Yeah.
So they own Beats headphones.
For like $1 billion.
Because people were like, well, where the fuck are they going to find headphones that will fit in a Lightning connector? Fucking Beats. They own the company. They will make headphones that are compatible with the new iPhone.
Well, that and Bluetooth headsets.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were talking wired in that case. But, yeah, they're also like, yeah, a lot of people are using wireless headsets, especially for, like, jogging and shit like that. And you don't want wires flailing all around you or whatever. So a lot of people use Bluetooth.
I have ones I use at the gym are pretty Sony. Like, they wrap around your ear. They're earbuds, but they have a little wraparound thing.
Right.
Because regular earbuds just fall the fuck out. And if you have the headphones that are soft, they'll fall off or they get disgusting.
Yeah.
So these are like the perfect medium, little Sony around ear things. They've worked real well.
Welcome to Technology Cast.
And Nerdcast and stuff. So we're actually coming up on, we're 53 minutes in. Why don't we stop and save, then we can do the emails, and then you can get out of here, because it's 10:36.
Okay, that's cool.
You can make this Valentine's Day one you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com, and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy, plus a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh no, we'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for the special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter offer code NOT, K-N-O-T. That's NOT at AdamandEve.com. And we are back.
Yay!
Huzzah. We have opened the door to the office, turned on the fan. Buzz got himself a drink. It was getting a little warm in here.
because of all this hot Wolf and Fox
action,
podcasting action. Yeah,
we're full of words and nerds.
We're nerds full of words. That should be our new podcast.
Yep. So we're gonna just open this up, hit the inbox. We've got 5 total emails this week, which is fine. And the first one is a Tumblr ask. Anonymous asked a question. You guys might have been asked this before, but have you seen anything for the new Super Sentai series where 4 of the main characters are furries?
Oh, I can answer this. No.
Yes. Okay. It is like Super Sentai Zoo Ranger or something like that. It's something silly like that. It is a...
So Super Senpai Notice Me Sentai. With furries? Oh, okay.
Right. It's
Syntax? What?
It's a Power Ranger series where the conceit is... Like, 4 of the main characters are animal head people, which is funny because, like, it's an elephant and a lion and an eagle and whatever, but whenever they put on their helmets and transform, they have regular-ass helmets.
Are they literally squish their heads. The fucking furry superheroes it from that cartoon? What was it called again?
Furry Force.
Furry Force, yes.
I don't think they'll combine and be, oh, yeah. No, I have heard about it. I have seen the previews for it. I think I tweeted about it. Beyond that, I haven't looked at it any further. I'm sure that when it comes out, or if it is coming out, I can go to, like, M and find it.
So, Super Sentai Furry Force. Okay, yes. Check it out.
it's, again, it's a Super Sentai show. These think along lines of, you know, it's Power Rangers. That is the genre. It is Power Rangers. As opposed to Kamen Rider, which has had themes about, like, fruit and motorcycles and space. Very, you know...
Fruit riding motorcycles through space?
Yes. It's okay. mature shows for mature viewers like myself.
Perfect. Okay, I'll read the next one. If we're done with furry force. Okay. On being misgendered in public. I have a beard. Even my closest friends to whom I'm out misgender me. Be chill about it. Smiley face. Your trans girl Pango from Georgia, Kylie. Okay.
Moving on. My fucking iPad freezes up. This is from Jeeves from Scotland. How to stay connected. Include the picture in case you're wondering about the attachment.
Well, it's a virus.
Yep. It's a virus of the Scottish countryside. Dear naughty casters, I'm currently in the midst of a rather lengthy visit, 6 months to what could be up to a year, back home to help out my mom as she goes through a bit of a tough personal time. She's not sick or anything, thank goodness, but various things have conspired to make these last few months particularly tough on her. After a couple of months, I arrive mid-November, I've settled into a decent rhythm here. I'm getting my writing done as usual, helping out around the house with chores and meals, and even getting out on some nice, if pretty chilly, walks on the beach. The big problem I'm currently facing? I'm missing my RL friends back in Dundee like crazy. The fact of the bad weather in this part of the country has led me to being offline for a few weeks doesn't help. Even before then and since, I feel like tweets and Facebook messages just aren't cutting it. What I really want to do is take a long weekend to visit Dundee and hang out with them, but right now I can't really take that time away from my family. I'm worried I might get to visit them once or twice between now and the 4 or 5 days we'll be spending hanging out when I attend Confuzzled in late May. My question is, do you guys have any advice on how to stay or at least feel more connected with friends when you're unavoidably kept away from them? Do I just need to make more of an effort to get on social media whenever possible? Or just let them know that while I may not be able to talk much, I still do care for them and look forward when we're back together hanging out and chatting every 2 or 3 days like we normally do. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, the far northern wastes of Cullen, Scotland. P.S. included as a picture of the village from down on the beach. It may be a bit gray due to the weather around here, but it's still a beautiful, if remote, little place. Oh, Cullen, Scotland, where the devil is that? I'm going to see if I can pull it up on Google Maps.
Well, apparently it's in the far northern wastes.
Yeah, so, like, the northern ass end of Scotland.
Right. Oh, that's crazy, like, because you get north Scotland, and then there's, like, off the coast of North Scotland, and there's all these wee islands, and, like, some of the little tiny ones, there's, like, 30 people population, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to take a ferry to the slightly larger island to go to school, and I'm just like, I can't imagine living somewhere so isolated. I wouldn't mind visiting it.
Well, though. I mean, and the way he's saying it is like the internet stuff is internet is spotty there, and I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little different. I find for me, social media is a good way for me to feel like I'm keeping in touch with someone or interacting with people.
Wow, it is really on the northern ass end of Scotland.
All that other bit over there, but yeah
it's, in the grand scheme of things,
it's yes it
it's,
is
it's literally on the one of the northern coasts.
Yep.
And it's wee tiny little town.
Oh my god, we're a bit chilly now.
With the towns of Sandin, Portnockey, Bods of Cullen, and Findochty nearby.
And fucking Google Shank
and Milton Hoggy. Backsies. Backies. No backsies. Canterbury's nearby. That's
when they try to go into the pub in a neighboring village and the guy's like, oi! And he holds up his hand, no backsies. Oh, God, we're terrible. So, yeah, for me, and also, if it's only going to be... Six months or so. Ugh, it'll be a dawdle. You'll be fine. your friends will never forget you.
There's a place called Cairngorms National Park.
I'll throw a caber in your honor.
And there's like little towns with in a there. U. A tiny little town called Muir. Lindolee. I'm just like, oh, these are cute little towns. I love looking at Google Maps and seeing all the weird little towns in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I'm like, I will never. Ooh. There's a town for us to visit. Cockbridge.
Frith on the hill, he named it for us.
And Corgarf, which is a knockoff Cardiff.
It's Chinese Cardiff.
We're sorry if you offend any Scottish listeners.
Is your dirt or who there?
And Tartuid.
Apologies to the residents of Court.
And Cockbridge.
And Cockbridge. Cockbridge is a good name.
That's actually one way you could do that people would probably really appreciate. Write them a letter.
Mm.
Because, you know, you can only get online every once in a while. But the post still runs, right? They don't have to come across the waves or the beaches with their post goats carrying the mail.
With their what goats?
Post
the
goats. They don't have horses. They're so remote. They have goats. I don't know, man.
You have to shove it up the arse of a haggis and throw it in the air and go fly, you wee beauty.
And hope the post stork picks it up.
The post stork grabs it in its great big gullet.
But I would say, like, you know, you can't always get online because you are in the ass end of nowhere. You know, but writing your friends a letter would probably, like, show that, hey, I miss you guys and internet doesn't exist out here. So I wrote you a letter. I hope you can read my handwriting.
Dear friends, I'm writing this by candlelight, which I made from the fat of a sheep that I slaughtered myself. We have no electricity here.
It's a bit cold. It's a wee bit nippy.
It's a titbit nipply. Please send help and bytes. I need the megabytes. The megabyte modem.
We only have acoustic couplers here. But yeah, seriously though, do what you can to get in touch with folks. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure your friends will understand that you're in the middle of nowhere, and you haven't disconnected and run away because you don't like them anymore, but you're doing some very important family-related business.
Oh, people will understand. I mean, I was – how long was I away when my mom was dying? I tried to say that in a less depressing manner, but...
You were gone for, like, a few weeks, I thought.
It was like 3 months or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, everyone was, like, super support. Not that your mom's dying or anything, James. But, I mean, it's not like my friends up and vanished while I was away, even though I didn't have a whole lot of time to get online and, you know.
You were going through some shit at the time.
Right, yeah.
And people were like, Fuzz is a bit occupied.
Yeah, and all my friends were still here for me when I kind of got back on track and back to the regular day-to-day of it. So, you'll be fine. You know, friendship, blood's thicker than water. No, friends will still stick around. It's all good. So, Saverin, speaking of, did you do your cunt research?
Oh, as to which episode that was?
Yeah.
Ah, fuck, no.
Okay. We will try to have a cunt update for you later, then.
Because I'm pretty sure we didn't, like, delete it. But if I search for cunt in our inbox, it might take a little bit.
Right.
There's okay. 3 messages total that have the word cunt in them.
So I'm going to go ahead and read the next email while you do cunt research. Like, what is a cunt? Follow up on last week's email. Dear Notcast, hello, this is Ruben again with a bit of a follow-up of last week's email. I'll try to keep this one as short as possible, as I know I've already taken up way too much time on your show with my ramblings already. Okay. Good heavens, I have to say that I was absolutely mortified that I'd made the mistakes you guys pointed out in my last email. I actually did a fact check on that bit about manspreading when Saverin mentioned it, and boy howdy, I don't think I've ever flushed so much in the span of 40 minutes. It certainly didn't help to find out that I'd misnamed Shiva throughout the entire email, or that Saverin pretty much shot down the entire purpose of said email in about 2 sentences. Saverin's good with words. Ironic, isn't it? In my email encouraging you guys to be careful of hasty conclusions, I managed to dive headfirst into one of my own. But that's enough of the Ruben's an idiot portion of this email, as I'd like to clear up a few things that I feel that you guys misinterpreted in my diligent effort to fit both my feet into my own mouth. He's good at special effects, too. First, concerning the
man's... Do all my own stunts, too.
All on audio. concerning the man-spreading anecdote, the intention of mentioning it wasn't to try to call into question the effectiveness of feminist causes as a whole. It was actually meant to illustrate a point I had been trying to make in email, that merely championing a position in the name of a cause doesn't necessarily make it best suited towards accomplishing the goals of said cause. I still think that, even though I was wrong about the severity of it, my example still fits. As regardless as to whether or not you feel that ticketing people for taking up too much space is warranted, I feel that it's still a pretty misguided cause to pursue in the name of feminism, at least, as it has nothing to do with equality. Now, I think Shiva and I both said manspreading was a dumb
thing, I think we all agreed that it was dumb.
Yeah. So, I don't disagree with you there. I mean... Anyway, you know, whether it's feminism or gay rights, any kind of equality thing, I could be for it and not. You don't have to be for everything that somebody who supports the same end goals as you do are into, you know? Like right now, I'll continue to email in a second, but like right now, politically, the Bernie bros, as they're being called apparently, but. You know, I like Bernie Sanders. I'd be fine with him as president. I'd also be fine with Hillary Clinton as president. But, like, some of Sanders' fans are going fucking rabid, you know? Like, they're just taking things up to 11, and they're getting kind of bitchy. And I think that kind of attitude is ultimately self-destructive to the party as a whole.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
Well, you have a pretty sharp divide. There's only 2 sides to pick in this one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have ultra-hardcore people on this side, ultra-hardcore people that they're going to throw shit at each other.
And the thing is that they've done the numbers, and the two of them voted the same way 93% of the time.
Well, see, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not the people that are on the opposite side of you, they're bad. But the people that agree with you... 93% of the time, they're worse because they don't agree with you all the time.
Yeah, that's sort of what it feels like.
And that's the truth, though. There's this one stupid fucking joke, right? Uh-huh. And it's like this guy comes across another man about to kill himself on a cliff. And he's like, no, brother, you should not die. Aren't you a Christian? He's like, yes. what denomination? I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist of this. And it gets down to, it's like, conclave of 1847 or conclave of 1863. And the guy says, die, heretic, and pushes him off the edge.
Right, yeah.
That is the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that. And I guarantee you, you know, whether the choice is whether the eventual nominee is Sanders or Clinton.
I'm voting for the Democrat, no matter what.
Either of them are going to be a far sight better than anybody on the Republican side.
Yeah. Like,
in my opinion, and if you are a left-leaning liberal person, you damn well better vote for whoever ends up at the top of that ticket.
Yeah. Again, right now, there's only two.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change until the general election, or, well, the nomination period is over. And
right,
it's probably going to be pretty goddamn close anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much neck and neck. But, yeah. You know... Yeah, it's that sort of thing. Like, you don't have to support fucking everything that somebody on your side does. Because people on the far left do some crazy shit, too, that I don't agree with.
16 or 18 to vote?
18.
Okay. I thought so.
It was one of the amendments.
Yeah.
Because it used to be 21, but they dropped it because of Vietnam.
People that were born, this is the first election where millennials will be voting. So this is the kids who were born in 1998 are voting.
Yeah.
So consider that, you know, you have that whole generation of folks come into politics. It's going to be weird.
Except that, like, young people don't vote in the same percentages as old people.
They
don't,
and they really need to fix that.
That is a problem.
But they're still going to get involved in the political process, even if that process is shitposting on Twitter.
Yeah. That ultimately doesn't really help. No, though. It doesn't. I mean, it maybe changes the narrative when... campaigns see a large amount of feedback, but
yeah, I mean,
like, I give a lot of feedback, but I can't vote,
and I vote in every election, even though I live in Texas.
Well, you see, but you do have a voice in the primary,
yeah,
which you also did in 2008, because, like, this is something Tieran felt very strongly about, was in 2008 it was Obama and Hillary, and you're voice voting in a Democratic caucus in Texas would actually have an influence on who the Democratic nominee was. I mean, the state was going to vote Republican in a general no matter what, but people actually felt for the first time in decades in Texas that they had some measure of influence on the political process.
Well, yeah, because Texas is big in terms of electoral votes.
And, like, well, because, like, usually by the time Texas's primary comes around, it's been well decided. But that year, remember, the two of them were neck and neck for fucking ages, and it didn't really get decided until very close to the national convention.
At least now the political reality is, you know, Hillary won Iowa by a nose, and Bernie won New Hampshire fairly handily. And so, like, I'm not totally aware of how many each delegate votes that counts is, but still, it's like, you know, this is probably going to be another similar Obama Hillary thing.
Except it's
going to be Sanders.
They say Hillary will probably take South Carolina because she does better in the South, because she was the first lady of Arkansas.
Yeah.
So, and she also has most of the African American vote. And there are more African Americans to be voting in South Carolina than in New Hampshire, which is probably like 98% white.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bernie is like a white Jew from the Northeast, isn't he?
Yes.
So he kind of has that.
So thing. Hillary will take South Carolina. But after that, I mean, it's like, who knows?
Yeah,
a lot of the states are going to be toss ups.
So it'll be interesting to see. But bottom fucking line, I'll be voting. And it'll be whoever the Democratic nominee is, because seriously, fuck anybody on the Republican side.
Who do you think you'll support in the caucus?
Probably Bernie.
Okay.
Basically, I kind of agree with more of his socialist ideals, and I would prefer that. You know, better education.
Oh, yeah.
You know, more poverty support.
The only thing I don't agree with him on is guns. He, being from a big outdoorsy state like New Hampshire, he's actually pro-gun. Where Hillary has come out and said, we need to make some changes because of all these gun massacres. But it, like, I like that Bernie doesn't have as much of the corporate money as Hillary does. I like that he is more of a man of the people.
Well, I mean, he's definitely the outlier in that, right? He's like the only person that doesn't have a super PAC.
Yeah, yeah. Article I saw the other day, it was like, yeah, when there's all these big political people coming to a town, it costs a small town a lot of money because they need a lot more cops on the beat, a lot more protection, because these are all people that could be president.
Yeah.
There could be people gunning for them on either side. So, you know, all those primaries and stuff in Iowa cost those little towns money, and the Sanders campaign was the only one that reimbursed this little town some the money for that, because it cost some tiny town like nearly $9,000, which for a huge city like Dallas, $9,000 is just a drop in a bucket of water. But for these little towns like Cockbridge, it's you know, or Taiwan Cardiff,
Cordarf,
you know, that's a big chunk out of their out of their coffers.
Consider that going back to something furry related with Watonga. Oklicon coming into town for 3 days was 10% of their city's GDP.
18%.
But they're hurting for that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I feel bad for the people that own the businesses and the restaurants and stuff in town that actually really like the furries. Didn't they have the fursuit parade downtown?
I'm sure they did.
I don't think it was an official con function.
We always made trips into town to walk around little antique stores and stuff like that.
You guys came back with fucking Watonga cheese and everything all the time?
We still have some wheels of Watonga cheese in our fridge. They're like a year old, but they're sealed, so they're just aging.
Oh, okay.
That's like our gold cheese.
And that sucks. We
break that up for the special occasions.
Right. I remember Watonga cheese.
Yeah. We actually had some of the Watonga, like, 08 vintage wine in our thing until just recently.
And that fucking park shot them. Not to go completely off topic, but that park shot themselves in the foot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we rented that space in the middle of a dead season, and we filled up their fucking lodge in the middle of a dead season. And it's like, that's a good chunk of change. This thing, furry cons bring money with them.
Yeah.
And we're all eating in the fucking lodge restaurant, or we're going into Watonga and doing it.
At a fucking Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, yeah.
Sucks for them, man.
Yeah. It's just, this has been in my mind a lot lately, too, because of the Rainforest situation, which, update on that.
It's canceled.
It's canceled now. It's not in Spokane like it was originally going to be. And this is because, according to various tweets from people that are on the board and everything like that, an individual contacted one of the venues that they were in talks with and basically told them some shit. I don't know whether they just grossly exaggerated what happened in Seattle last year, or whether they made some shit up, or, you know, I hope the con was up front with them about why they were looking to move. Because that shit was going to come out one way or another.
Venues talk.
Basically, they were looking into contracts with the hotel and the convention center.
Yep.
And one of the venues pulled the contract that they were being offered.
Yeah.
And
what just kills me, though, is they announced it before the ink was dry. And I'm
they should not have said anything before the contract was signed and in hand. I mean, even then, I mean, there are cancellation clauses on both sides, but it would have been a hell of a lot more secure.
Yeah.
So now, for those that haven't heard, newsflash, there's no Rainforest in 2016. They're talking about coming back in 2017.
Didn't their chairperson?
Yes, she stepped down because I would too. You know, that her team worked really hard on trying to secure this alternate venue in Spokane, but
some motherfucker,
somebody that just really had a hate boner for Rainforest decided it wasn't good enough that they got kicked out of Seattle. Let's just fuck up the whole thing for everybody. You know, some shitty fucking person.
And this is what kills me, right? Is you have all these people opining on this stuff, and I'm like, you guys, do you have any idea how much money goes into these cons? How much hard work, thousands of hours?
Yeah.
And you just, you shitty piece of shit. A, the people that damaged the hotel, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then the people that jeopardized the contract.
Double fuck you. Yeah. You know?
With a cactus.
Yeah. It's just, it's really just dumb.
It's just, it kills me. Because, I mean, it makes everybody else nervous.
Yeah, totally.
Like, got to be more vigilant for X, Y, and Z. Make sure that damage isn't occurring in the hotel, like event space and stuff and, like that.
But, you know, and obviously there's a lot of rumors out there and a lot of opinions. And I can only go and go by what people have said. But, you know, from the rumors I've been seeing is that the con had a somewhat tense relationship with that hotel for several years.
Yeah, it was like multiple years of damage.
And then this damage happened, and it was like, okay, that's the last straw. We're not giving you a contract next year.
Yeah, it's so, the one single incident that caused this.
Right. So the flip on that is that at Fiesta and at any other con, make sure you have a good relationship with your hotel staff.
Oh, yeah.
That you have constant communication, and that they let you know when they have issues, and that when they have issues, you address them.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like behind the curtain, super secret shit or anything. It's pretty much out there. But apparently years ago, Anthrocon came close to losing the Westin because of just shit happening at the Westin. And they had to because what would happen was, attendees wouldn't let the maids in their room for like 4 days, you know, like at all during the con.
That's, and then they'd be gross at all.
They'd be a fucking disaster by Monday when everybody checked out and left. So now the Westin has a policy that the maids have to come into your room once a day and fuck your do not disturb sign.
Yeah.
You know? And you know what? I'm perfectly fucking fine with that, because if AC lost that hotel, they're fucked. They're already short on hotel space, and they're in like 6 hotels.
Yeah. Well, like the Westin sold out in 4 minutes.
Yeah. So that could be a major problem. And, you know, Nikon stepped in and they talked to the hotel and they figured out a solution, and they told attendees that were bitching about it.
Tough shit.
This is the way it is.
And, you know, cons are fun and games, but they're a fucking business. As I mentioned, there's a lot of money in play.
Despite what Eurofern says on Twitter, they're a business.
Oh, cons are a fucking business. There is so much money in play. I mean, and for, you know, for Fiesta, you know, we're what, a third of, you know, we're past 6 figures and we're a third of Anthrocon. I cannot even imagine. They're probably in really close to 7. Figures.
As far as their budget goes, they're probably a $1 million organization.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at fucking like Akon, they're multi-$1 million.
Yeah. Event. Yeah.
You know, so much money in play that's jeopardized by fucking.
Yeah. You know, it's money that the con spends. And even more than that, I mean, it's the time and the personal commitment of people on staff. And I'm not saying that no staff member of Rainforest or any other con never fucked up.
Oh, because, man, no.
Oh, I've been there. They fucked up. But I'm saying that just people just bitch and bitch and bitch about shit that's completely out of their control sometimes. Well,
I think we've been on the board for Fiesta since its inception, right?
Yeah.
This is Fiesta number 7. We first started the talks to organize Fiesta back in 08, or actually late 07. I don't recall.
I think it was late 07. But
so we've been spending time and effort and involved for at least 8 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of hours, and you know, at minimum, because we always have those long-ass board meetings around your gaming table,
right?
Sometimes, but you know, it's like this. Years and years and years of work and devotion to this event that we ain't getting paid to do.
I know we Shiva related this on the show, but that one email comment that was talking about, you should look into what your board is being paid. They're making all this money off the back of the con, and she was like, I'm the president of the board, and I ain't being paid shit.
Yeah.
And nobody on the board is being paid shit.
We put money into our con each year.
Like, yeah.
I've spent not maybe $100 this year so far on just getting shit for my game room. And I'll be spending a little bit more before the con because it's my baby.
I know I put over $1,000 in year one, yeah. Like that seed money that, you know, we gathered up as much as we could.
Panther and I bought stuff for the con. I bought stuff for the con. I mean,
yeah. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Needless to say, we are folks that have skin in the game and have very, very strong opinions. So,
sorry to diverge again, but on the plus side, overall, talking to our hotel at Fiesta and talking to hotel staff members at other conventions across the nation, generally furries are some of the better guests. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not as rowdy, we are not as destructive, we're not as rude as business conventions, Baptist conventions.
Let me tell you an anecdote.
Okay.
So, similarly so, I have, with Nightmare Nights, we have a good relationship with the Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
And they, and we pay our bills on time and blah, 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 blah. And they had an event that there was a group that wasn't using event space, but they were using a room block at our hotel at the same time that my con was going on.
Mm.
And they harassed the maids. They were racist to the staff. Jesus. They made spurious complaints against my group. They were rude to my staff. They were rude to several of the women on my staff. And in the end, those fuckers tried to skip their bill. Needless to say, they've been banned from the hotel.
Pieces of shit.
And there were these fucking, like, Western artists.
Oh, those fucking pricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, and it wasn't, like, you know, not all Western artist pricks, but, you know, it was, like, the dudes organizing it were real pieces of shit, apparently.
Yeah.
And, like, were racist towards Connie, the person who handles
the events. Yeah, right.
And so it was just like, damn, what the fuck? And so, like, again, you know, fan groups are generally well-behaved, and there's some real fuckers out there.
Yeah.
God help you get the Baptist showing up at your con.
Yeah.
They'll drink your bar dry.
We have had, over the years that the fandom has been around, we have had a small number of unfortunate incidents that, I mean, every con is going to have incidents, and most people don't hear about them because the con staff handles it with the hotel staff behind the scenes, and you never fucking have to hear about it or deal with it or know that any drama happened. That's a good show. But, you know, yeah, there's occasional incidents like OkulCon, like Rainfirst, where a con has imploded or gotten kicked out of a venue or whatever. But the important thing to remember is that those are actually the exception.
Oh, yeah, they're way outliers.
They're way outliers. And overall, furry cons are actually pretty well run and pretty well behaved and pretty well liked by the people that are serving us in the various cities.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty epic stories of cons, like, imploding in, like, sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah. Because we talked about that one that Dr. Phlox was at.
Yeah.
And I heard that story. He related it to AllCon. It wasn't about AllCon. But, and of course, the Brony community.
Star Trek one, yeah. Well, fucking
Las Pegasus Unicorn.
Las Pegasus. Being the big one. That was an event that impacted so hard that it, like, jacked the rates for a lot of guests and changed things around clause-wise.
It fucked a lot of first-year cons, too, because a lot of places didn't want to take a chance.
I was a first-year con negotiating things after that. That didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it actually was impacted enough that it's known outside of the pony stuff.
Wow.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Conventions, man.
So that's cons. I want to end on a positive note of, you know what? Yeah, we've had a few fuck-ups recently, but we're overall pretty good fandom. And don't let a few fucking pricks the fucked up something get you down.
Yeah, I mean, the state of the fandom is still strong. And, you know, there's still lots of great cons out there, and there's some real fucking outstanding ones that are, like, up and coming. like RMFC's the new shining star on the West Coast, it looks like. You know?
Or do you mean BLFC?
BLFC.
Yeah. BLFC. RMFC's been around a little while longer.
RMFC's doing all right, but yeah. I meant BLFC.
That con is mile fucking high.
Oh, you ever watch a fursuit parade?
On weed.
I have. It's a weird experience.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious that you said that. It was just like, this is so trippy.
He's like, dudes inside these creatures, man. So we should finish up this
email. I'm going to finish the email. Sorry, guy.
You got a 20-minute tangent.
The long divergence there. So, okay. Second, when I mentioned racism, sexism against white men, I most certainly was not doing it in an attempt to downplay racism and sexism suffered by others by trying to divert the conversation. Boy, and this is in quotes, boy, it's so hard being a white male in Western society today. Why isn't everyone focusing on my problems? Haha, no, that's not what I was saying. Well, good, because some people are actually saying that, and those people are shitty. I was actually referring to it with regards to the rhetoric found in some of the more radical SJW arguments, in which criticism for generalizing white people slash men and even being outright insulting towards those groups as a whole is merely brushed aside by claiming that there can be no such thing as sexism, racism against whites slash men. It was supposed to expand on a culture of silencing dissent and diverting conversation that I feel is becoming prominent in some of these SJW circles. Anyway, thanks for hearing me out, guys. Even though I disagree with you on certain points and even found a few of them to be fairly troubling. Would you say they're problematic? I'll talk about that later. You all certainly gave me a few things to think about, and as you know, I appreciate that sort of thing. With warm regards, Ruben. Something I want to mention in just a general sense, I hate that certain words are seized upon by one side or another as a reason to like mock somebody's point.
Yeah.
You know, because like there's nothing wrong with the word problematic. You know, you can use it.
It depends on its usage. It really does.
You can use it in a variety of different situations. You know, like I don't have a twink on my dick right now. That's problematic for me.
Well, see, at least in that usage of the word, you explain what the problem is.
Oh, so my use of the word problematic was not problematic?
Correct, because you had a reason. There's not a twink on my dick, and that sucks. That's a problem.
Right.
When people throw out the word, oh, well, they're so problematic, and they don't expound upon it, that just makes
– So what are they referencing when they say they're so problematic?
That's the thing. If someone just throws it out there, oh, well, they're so problematic, uh-huh, and they don't explain why – all they're doing is basically saying this person's vaguely or thing is vaguely bad, but they're not giving a reason as to why this person, situation, thing is a problem. It's a non-word that basically says, well, it's a, you know what I mean? It's a
mm-hmm
filler word that kind of says this is vaguely bad, mm-hmm, without saying why or for what reason a thing or person or idea is vaguely bad.
It's
a lack of specificity.
The other thing I walked into by mistake, because I'm not so embroiled in this internet culture, is the word shitlord. Like, I actually thought it was just an amusing insult.
People legitimately use it, but it's lost its power because people use it as a joking pejorative.
See, I didn't know that. Apparently it's like this major SJW thing to call other people shitlords.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought it was a funny statement because I had somebody reply to me on Twitter like, shitlord, really, dude? Like, ugh, I can't believe you said that. And I was like, what?
It's so problematic.
It's so, yeah, right. And I was like, what? I just thought it's like calling somebody uncle fucker, you know? It's just sort of randomly amusing combination of words.
Well, it's another one of those things where language is weird, right?
Yeah.
So if we joke and like, oh, man, I'm such a shitlord, mm-hmm, most people understand, lol, that's just a funny word. We're mocking that.
Right. But
there are other people, you're admitting to being, you know, Hitler's cousin, right? It's one of those things where, you know, it's all a matter of perspective.
Mm.
You know, if you, oh, God, what a shitlord. Well, if you're saying that as a joke, hopefully people understand that. But to someone who doesn't necessarily know you, or who uses that term in that specific way, you just said this person is awful. And it's all a matter of where they're coming from. Even though using the same word has vastly different meanings.
Somebody should publish a scat anthology called Shitlords.
Well, or take the term furfag.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So if.
See, a furry can call another furry a furfag.
But that's our word.
But if other shitlords do it, then it becomes problematic.
Well, it's basically like if someone's trying to use it as a pejorative.
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a fucking furfag. Get out of here. You know, if it's a non-furry telling you that, they're vaguely threatening you.
Right. Yeah.
But if, stop my fellow fur fags, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll see people that are overly sensitive saying like, I hate the term fur fag. And I'm like, I'm taking it back. You know, let's take back fur fag.
Just have a jersey that says that on the back.
This is fur fag.
Taking it back.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, what perspective is the user? That's one of the things. Like, you can say one thing, saying it from a particular perspective, and mean it in one particular way, and then some person on the other end,
some
on
the shit internet,
takes it the complete opposite direction. Right?
Yeah. Some fucking foam face.
What? Is that like a negative term for fursuiters?
No.
Oh, look at this fucking foamy. Fucking rug fuckers. We're making up new terms, kids.
Wait, what was the last one?
Rug fucker. Oh, man. They're like, fuck you. That's our word.
It's an expression that came up on Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and they're using it as a pejorative, but they're not saying what they're referencing. I think they're referencing the mentally deficient people. It's like foaming at the mouth kind of thing. But, you know, some fucking foam face said this to me, you know, but as a derogatory term for fursuiters, that's fucking hilarious.
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome.
I can't wait to whip that out on Tyrion the next time the fursuit parade comes to the dealer's room and just have him look at me in horror. He will smack me repeatedly. It'll be worth it. Join us for episode 305, Foam Face.
Okay.
It's your turn to read, right?
Yep. All right. So also, as a final note, it's cool that you don't agree with us. If you agree with us 100% of the time, you should.
You're a fucking foam face.
Fursuiters. Oh, and this next email.
Yes.
Some fursuiting insights for you guys. Last email of the show.
Okay.
Hello again, special doggo, forest doggo, and couch gatto. With Zootopia around the corner and your conversation last week about fursuiting to the movie itself, I would like to offer a little bit of insight into the world of fursuiting and correct some misconceptions mentioned in previous episodes. Hopefully this isn't a huge wall of text for you guys. Here in the SF Bay Area, we are doing a showing of Zootopia for ourselves. One of our locals was enterprising enough to book a theater in Concord for a private screening. Contrary to the popular belief of us just going fursuiting wherever we can, we try to ask beforehand if we are allowed to fursuit at a venue. Most of us know better than to randomly go to the mall wearing a big fluffy critter costume, but there is always some idiot that will try to do it. As you guys mentioned before, there is a time and place for everything. Someone mentioned something about a vision wall in suit in some recent episodes. For realistic suits that commonly have glass eyes, you'd be looking through where the tear ducts would be. It's about the equivalent of looking through a shitty pair of binoculars. Results may vary. For tunier suits, the eyes of the character where you would see through. Because the design, the vision can be very good. Yes, because they use mesh. You lose a bit of peripheral vision on the sides and below the nose, but just like the goggles and glasses, your brain compensates for it after a little while. Looking through the mesh of the eyes is basically looking through a veil or privacy curtain. Usually these eyes are better for watching TV and movies through. Personally, I have two of these tunier designs, and the vision is pretty good for both of them. I have enough side-to-side vision to not have an issue while fursuit go-karting at BLFC, though it doesn't stop others from bumping into me. Our organizer managed to get a changing room slash headless lounge for us so we can change into our costumes and take a breather if we get too hot. As we're watching the movie, I'm going to watch without my head on since we have a private auditorium.
You're ruining the magic!
Fucking film fan! So it doesn't matter as much to ruin the magic in the dark theater! I'm sure some purists will watch it without taking their heads off. For me, I'm planning on seeing the movie on opening night as it comes out on my birthday. Yee, I'm so excited. I don't think I'll be shooting for the opening night viewing. Hopefully this clarifies things to you guys. And thank you for reading from email. Keep on casting those knots, Casey. Well, I think the point here is that you're doing a private showing.
Right.
Which is ideal for doing it for a suit.
You guys can get all hot and bothered watching Nick and, you know, just start rug humping right there in the aisles. Was one big writhing mass. It's like when a bitch goes in heat and all the male dogs come around. And as Billy Connolly described it, it's like a big fucking fatty igloo.
It'll be just like that CSI episode from 2004. Was it really that far long ago?
Yeah.
It was a while back.
Yeah.
And people still remember it.
Back in the day.
But yeah, the Tunier suits with the big mesh eyes do have way superior vision. You just lose a lot of peripheral. Most of my experience, though, has been more realistic. And you are correct. It is shitty binoculars. And
wait, you have fursuit experience?
Yeah.
Face melt, Indiana Jones style. What kind of critter was it?
It was a fox fursuit. It was very brief, and a person who had it on previously was sweaty and disgusting. Noped out of it real fast.
Right.
But shitty vision also didn't compensate for space for glasses, so I couldn't see shit.
My
vision is really bad. Like, so you see the posters on my office closet door right there. Yeah. I can't read the words. All the characters on, they're just blobs.
Yeah.
Like, I know that box over there says the UPS store. It's a blob.
Yeah.
And that's like 4 or 5 feet away from me.
Yeah.
My vision is shit.
It'd be interesting to know how some. I know there's different ways that some fursuiters compensate for that. I guess some people wear contacts. I mean, but if you don't wear contacts, I wonder if you just can build the space. Because like, even if the space is in the head, it gets hot as balls in there, right?
You get sweat on your glasses and blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'll be fursuiting anytime soon, so not a problem for me.
Maybe you could have the whole eye made in prescription glass.
You know, you could probably get some lenses.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have to be set correctly.
Yeah, and they would have to be set in such a way where it would work, like, 6 inches away from your eyeballs.
Actually, now that I think about it, you could integrate a pair of glasses into, like, the headspace fairly simply, because Zenni optical glasses are cheap as shit. You can get a pair of, like, burner glasses for, like, $8.
Huh.
And you could integrate them into the headspace so they'd sit correctly, but you wouldn't have to worry about, like, the earpieces or whatever. They'd just be in the foam, and they would be at the correct distance so that they would provide correct vision correction through the headset.
Would that still work if you have, like, astigmatism or a really specific prescription or something? I mean, because, like, how are these – I haven't heard of these lenses that you're talking about.
Well, Zenni Optical, they're just a lens company.
Uh-huh.
And they're very inexpensive. Like, these glasses right here I got from them, they're, like, $56 or whatever.
Oh.
Plus some shipping, and they're, you know, they've got their transitions, lenses, and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And it's just because they're, like, lens wholesalers, and they sell direct.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to, like, Target Optical or Lens Masters or whatever. It's just, yo, I'm going to buy these lenses online.
Hmm.
You just have to make sure that you get your prescription to them very directly.
At this point, we cut out a 40-minute discussion of glasses, lenses, and lens technology.
You're welcome. So that wraps up the emails. And, you know, I really wish you weren't such a shitlord on the glasses. I mean, we agree on so much, but you're wrong. You're wrong on this one thing, and you are dead to me.
I just find your lenses problematic.
All right, so that is it for the emails, and it is now 11:31.
So I guess we have a regular week next week, barring Shiva getting blown up with a Fiesta.
Well, I mean, she was in crunch time, so her schedule is a bit wonky at this point anyway, because she has a real job plus Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So her crunch time's a little bit different than mine. So she may not be appearing on the show. She will be missed not appearing in this film for the next few weeks, probably. And then after Fiesta, we'll probably do a show then, if we all survive without conflict.
Right.
But we should be, at least you and I, doing regular shows more or less until the con.
Yeah. So speaking of crunch time.
Actually, we won't be doing a show the Thursday before the con, because that's set up.
That, yeah, that's true.
So we have like three more shows before that.
Okay. I was going to say, speaking of crunch time, now, because of my own stupid doing, I have to go home and prepare to deal with a con tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, but hey, we need to, we'll coordinate on the arriving at and handling, and we'll assist you at the table, and we will network the fuck out of this shit.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Network this bitch.
Whoa.
All right. So, at that point, that's it for the show. We do have a Patreon. You can find us on patreon.com/notcast. We appreciate every one of you. A little $1 a show. It's like $3 to $4 a month, maybe $5 on the top end. You support us, that's great. We love every one of you.
It's pretty ballin'.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Notcast. You can find us on Facebook. Yeah, we're going to attach our names to that shit. No, you can find us on for Affinity at Notcast. We don't really use it, though. You can find us on Tumblr at Notcast. You can mainly talk to us on Twitter. That's your best bet. Or emailing us directly at notcast@foxdeckford.com. You can also send non-ass on our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. And our episodes are posted there if you don't want to subscribe on, like, iTunes for whatever reason. Right. Speaking of, I need to do that with last week's episode and this week's episode.
And, like, episode 301, I think, is not on the Tumblr.
God damn it. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like everything gets posted to the RSS real easy, but I actually have to, like, log out of my Tumblr, log into the other one, and remember to do it. And you can find me on Twitter at Severn Drake. Find me on YouTube at Severn Drake.
Like and subscribe.
I've done some cool. I spent like 6 hours yesterday putting together what amounted to 27 minutes of video.
Mm-hmm.
Two separate files. First one went up today, and the next one comes up next week. One is a review of Lupin the Third Part 4, the new Lupin the Third series, and the other one is something that James and I recorded months ago that I'd been sitting on because it was a big fucking project that I procrastinated on until I hardened the fuck up and did it. That's comparing and contrasting two very similar and very different series. Seven Deadly Sins and Yona of the Dawn. So I do some anime stuff on the side, and I'm putting lots of effort into this, and it's not going to pay off, but I feel better about it.
Fucking anime, yo.
Anime, yeah. So,
Fuzzwolf on Twitter. My company accounts are For Planet and Bad Dog Books on Twitter. I'm on the FA also. For Planet actually has a Facebook page, though. So it's just, I think it's just facebook.com/For Planet For Planet Productions, one or the other. So you can go and like it there if you're a furry to use his Facebook. Some furries actually use Facebook under their furry names, and they're active there. So
I have mine under my real name. I've posted some of the stuff I made to it, like little audiobook things and silly videos. And I don't know how fucking Facebook works, man. I'm just, I post, like, share to Facebook. Yeah, sure, all right.
Yeah.
Maybe my small number of, like, relatives and stuff and people will watch it. I don't know. Like, man.
Yeah, you don't know.
This guy has some cool ideas about comics and anime.
And first of all, what the fuck? Ah.
Fucking foamies! All right, so let's wrap this up. On that note, good night. And big balls.
And don't fuck the snake and horse pussy.
And all that stuff, yes.